Hello, everyone, and this is Esperanza Ray here on BBS Radio, New Consciousness, New World. And I just wanted to welcome you again back to the show. We've been, we had a pause of 2 weeks, two Tuesdays, where we ran some recorded, pre-recorded shows. As you know, some of you might realize that we were out of the country. We were actually down in Chichen Itza, New Mexico, or Mexico, actually, the Yucatan Peninsula. And we had an incredible, incredible, incredible trip. It was beautiful. The pyramids, they're just so, so impressive. The energy there is amazing. And not to mention the fact that, you know, the energy, the constellations, the way they are right now, the amount of energy coming in from the hierarchies of light, and the energy coming in from the existing constellations, the new moon was so powerful that the energy work was amazing there. And I wanted to share a little bit what that was like, because, you know, when you have the opportunity to participate in such an incredible voyage as this was, maybe you, some of you already have traveled in situations like this or have been to some of the pyramids, whether they be in Egypt or Mexico, it's still incredibly powerful. And this was obviously not just something that occurred where we were, but occurred worldwide. I know that different people were called and invited to attend different locations on the planet, because this is an incredible transformation for the planet, for humanity as a whole. And we are so, so fortunate to be living in a time, in a period where we're going through quantum leaps, quantum changes, basically things that haven't occurred for maybe 26,000 plus million years, or 50,000, depending, because there's different combinations of things occurring, and we're fortunate enough to have the combination of the two happening to us right now. Now, granted, this is also going to be, to some degree, a challenge for us. There's no question about that. However, what is important to keep in mind is that, you know, we are all in this voyage together, and that we have, for whatever reason, because of our past, forgotten our origins and forgotten so many incredible things about our life and who we are. So part of this process is remembering this, the part of who we are, why we're here, and most important, what our purpose is in life, because it is through our purpose that we achieve our ultimate potential. So before we get started, I know in the past couple of weeks we had talked about the ascension process, and we had talked about the future of Earth, Terra, more specifically as the hierarchies of light refer to it. And that's, we're going to continue along those lines. We're very close to finishing my book, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012, The Real Secret of the End of Time's Ascension to the Fifth Dimension of Terra. However, I did want to touch on the trip that we had, because for several reasons. One is because it's very closely related. Everything really has to do with our transformation in our voyage in this time of enlightenment. And also important as well is the fact that some of the incredible situations that came up on our trip, it was a time not just to perform healing on the energy centers, which in our case was located in Chichen Itza. However, we have the opportunity to travel to other pyramids, which are less known. However, they're equally as powerful and probably as important as Chichen Itza. There's also another pyramid, which is supposed to be much larger, and the surrounding city that is located around the main pyramid is supposed to be the largest in Mexico, the country of Mexico, which is Teotihuacan. I hope someday to be able to have the opportunity to go there. But those are some of the locations where these pyramids are located. They're very strategic for energy purposes. And because we have the opportunity to go through a full moon, you have the combination of all these powerful energies. And then we had the powerful energy of the people attending, which were there was a large group going with us. We were located smack in the middle of the jungle, very close to the pyramids, Chichen Itza itself. However, it was basically we were surrounded by complete jungle. It's a wonderful place. The resort that we were staying at was called Okan, and it's spelled OKA'AN. Okan. It's the way the locals or the Mayans used to pronounce it. It's an incredible place. Also, everything is open air, and of course, because everything is open, there's no question that we had some interesting visitors. On my first morning, none less than a scorpion located in our bedroom. So me and my roommate, we were very surprised, and not necessarily in a happy manner. But it was a fortunate situation. It was contained, and I strategically placed a bucket over the poor scorpion so they would not, you know, feel threatened. That was one. Then I went to a meditative state and consulted with spirit because basically I realized that what I had done the previous night was a precursor to the situation. I had accidentally, or I should say not so accidentally, killed a spider. I know, bad karma there. So spirit was basically telling me, okay, we know what your fears are. If you're going to, you know, do something damaging like destroying some other type of life, then we're going to present you with your fears. And, of course, scorpions had been one of those fears. And then I figured it out that if I killed the scorpion now, then who knows, the next fear being on my agenda would be next to show up, and I didn't want to face that one. So I was polite, and I followed the guidance of higher spirit and learned my lesson to respect all life. Now, I normally do that, but on occasion, there's a little weakness where I let fear control me. So unfortunately, it got the best of me when I killed a small spider. And that was also rewarded in the next occasion when I came face to face with a tarantula. Fortunately, it was not in the in our bedroom, but it was outside. And I have to tell you, they are extremely, extremely, extremely impressive. I don't know if they bite. I don't know how poisonous they are, but I do know that I don't want to mess with them. They were the size of my hand, which is a decent size, and they were black, completely jet black, with the exception of the body. The back part of the body had a gold circle, and in the center, again, the black. So they were extremely impressive creatures, and they remained very still when we went around them. But I have to say, I think it helped me overall to overcome my fear of insects, to say the least, to a certain degree. Oh, and in this opportunity, I also knew I was going to be confronting some of my fears. And I did have the opportunity to do that. I confronted one of my fears, which was fear of heights. When I climbed to one of the pyramids, we had the opportunity to go to Tulum, which had an incredible pyramid as well. Beautiful, beautiful. A humongous city surrounding the pyramids. It was one of the biggest ancient Mayan cities that I have seen so far. And I was impressed by the structure, the monuments, the designs into the different buildings and structures that were contained there. And there were two or three pyramids within. Some of the locations, there were pyramids still covered by dirt and trees because, you know, the jungle does deteriorate, and trees especially. So a lot of these places, while there are a lot of tourists, the tourist population concentrates on the most better known areas like Chichen Itza, Teotihuacan, and places like that. And these other places are equally spectacular, equally beautiful, equally energy impressive. However, they're not as well known, so they're not as traveled by the tourists. And it was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to kind of feel like you're part of the culture, part of the environment when you go out of the, you know, traditional touristy areas and get to visit something more traditional and more historic than what we're normally used to, because Chichen Itza is so overwhelmed with tourists. It's actually gotten to be too busy and too overpopulated with tourists and other visitors, and not to mention, of course, a lot of people selling their goods because they're trying to make money. There was the stuff there was incredible. It was incredibly priced, and they had some beautiful things. When you go into the gold and the silver, you know, there's not much difference because it's, you know, a global change from that perspective. But you could find beautiful jewelry, beautiful art for prices that, you know, you don't have the opportunity to pay in the U.S. So I've gotten some good, souvenirs to mention, of course. I'll go into the tequila later, but that was also a very interesting experience where we got to see how that was done. Going back to the pyramids, however, one of the other things that they have a lot of in these areas of the Yucatan is they have these underwater, or I should say tunnels under the earth, which actually communicate between themselves. And in communicating or opening these channels to the public are these sinkholes, which in Mexico they call cenotes. And these cenotes, some of them are beautiful. Like we had the opportunity to go to one that looks much smaller than Luray Caverns in Virginia, but equally beautiful with the stalactites and stalagmites hanging from the ceiling, incredible water. You had these beautiful openings in the ceiling where the sunlight came in, and you were allowed to swim in them. So it was a nice, refreshing, experience to be able to get out of the hot, humid climate of the Yucatan and be able to refresh your body, your soul, just swimming around the cool warmth of the waters, which, due to the fact that they're underground, are a bit cool and refreshing. And it was just brilliant. They had ceremonies down there. Some of the, you know, ancient Mayan descendants, like we had a shaman do some clearing with different herbs. As they burned them, they basically passed them around your body and did cleansing that way. They also performed a ceremony of drumming, and that was incredible because I was in the water and I got to actually dance to the drums in the water. I felt like I was doing a ballet in the water, but it was, I don't know, I just felt so moved by spirit, and the energy just seemed to flow with the music and as I was in the movement that I was performing in the water, and I felt the energy activate and spread through the different ley lines that exist on the planet and just surround the globe. I remember the last time I had traveled to perform energy work on a specific area was last year when I went to Ground Zero in New York City. I hadn't been there since before September 11th. Actually, I hadn't been there for quite a while, really. I had passed through New York, but not really got the opportunity to stay there. And a friend of mine and I went there to perform. We felt called to come and do energy work at Ground Zero. We had done energy work also in the Washington metropolitan area, going around the different energy centers. Some of you may already know this, others may not, so for the benefit of those who are not aware, in D.C., it's the way it's been laid out by the Masons, it's taken advantage of a lot of energy centers, and they've used a specific construction that takes advantage of the energy to create power and to manifest. And so as a result of September 11th, and a lot of this energy had been distorted by the blasts and by the negative energy and the pain and the suffering that all these people sustained as a result of the attack. And the call was to come and clear that. So there were two occasions, one right after, a couple of weeks after the attack was perpetrated in on the Pentagon. And so I was actually shown a lot of the energy centers. I knew of some of them, but a lot of other energy centers I was not even aware of. And so I got the opportunity to attend, to go to those places. And then that I was asked to repeat that a few months later. So another friend of mine attended with me, and we went and did work also on a different site. So I never really stopped to think about it, but it was not surprising, and it was a welcome invite to be called to New York because of Ground Zero and other energy points in the New York City area. For example, another very important energy point was the Statue of Liberty, and of course the Empire State Building was another one, and that was the one we worked on last. It was actually midnight when we had the opportunity to go into that one. So this has been going on, and when we attended a New York, gradually I noticed that as we go to different locations, every single time the energy levels that you can sustain and you can put out are much higher. So when I attended in Ground Zero, we went all around the Ground Zero area and different points, and basically did different things from clearing, facilitating the ascension for any energy that was still stuck there, and then not only that, but connecting the ley lines from Ground Zero and bringing them into balance, first of all, and then connecting them to the rest of the planet was part of that work. And it was really incredible because I just felt this pillar of white light descend through the center of my being, surrounding, and then as the energy flowed out through my feet and through my hands, and the third eye as well, the explosions of energy just poured out from the body, and it spread out like pretty much like when you throw a stone into the water and it creates a ripple effect. So that was the same effect, except this was energy that was coming directly from the heart. Some of you may already know this. However, for those of you that may not, the energy of the heart comes from, connects directly with the essence of God and is a very, very pure energy. So when you're able to bring that energy, it brings into balance the energy of a place that's, for whatever reason, thrown into imbalance and distorted energy is put in place. So it was an incredible experience because the energy vibration that you were holding was very high. We also used sound vibration because I sing, and that's part of the gift of spirit, that I use the energy of sound through the heart chakra, and it comes out, and it's very powerful energy as well. So through certain notes, through certain terminology or mantras, the energy is brought back into balance through the sound as well as the energy, and it all works together to create balance, harmony, and bring everything into a state that can bring balance on the planet. And just in the same way, we need to balance the energy centers of our body. It is also true that we need to bring into balance the energy centers on the planet in the same way we bring in balance to our own personal energy centers by the things, the choices we make, by the words we utter, the thoughts we sustain, and the way we treat other people, the actions we perform. The same is true with the energy centers on the planet. Through our choices, through our thoughts, through our choices and actions, we affect the planet as a whole. So taking that into account, there's also a need for bringing that into balance in this affects a larger radius of people than just one person. So that's the wonderful healing power of working with the planet and energy centers. Like I said, this is part of my calling, and we also, through training that I received from Spirit, and through other people also, we've put different things together to teach workshops, because we are not the only ones performing this kind of work, and we're not the only ones who will be doing this kind of work. So that's something we feel privileged to be and honored to be able to share with other people. And possibly on one of our future radio shows, we can do some of that work online and or on the radio, and then you can share those same things. The other part of aspect of the healing is then to bring protection to a given area. And the other thing is, when I travel internationally, I'm able to connect the ley lines from the different places, countries I go and travel to, for example, Spain, and this occasion, Mexico, and connect them all together. And the energy levels have gotten so intense that I can actually hold the energy vibration for the entire planet and communicate and connect all the ley lines around the globe. So it's really powerful. And it was a natural progression to move now from the global to the universal, or to the galaxy. And that's what happened when we went to Chichen Itza, that the next process of it was to extend the energy vibrations and connect that with the energy vibrations in the universe, in our immediate universe. And eventually, I imagine it will extend even further than that. So our only limit energy-wise is constructed or put in place by our belief system. The more we can expand our awareness, the more we can expand our thought process, then the further we can go with holding the energy vibration in a further and further distant location. Sharing that with you, also, we connected the different locations. Every single one we went to, we connected water. We did the water fire, and because I hold the fire element within my energy frame, and then obviously earth, because the ground is sacred, and this is where Chichen Itza was. So we used basically almost all the elements, because the air obviously surrounds us. So we use earth, air, water, and fire to utilize this. And on top of that, we use the crystalline structures of the pyramids, as well as the crystalline structures within our blood, our circulatory system. And so this was an incredible activation, planetary-wise, as well as an individual level. So we did perform healing on locations that we travel to, as well as in ourselves, because when you clear the planet, you're also working on yourself, and you're working on the whole spectrum of human beings that exist on this planet. So it was a wonderful healing experience and a privilege to meet such incredibly beautiful people as I got to meet on this trip. It was a growth experience, as well as a pilgrimage and an opportunity to share my message, to share my book, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012, and to give a conference about the Crystal Cities. When we come back next Tuesday, we'll be continuing with the Crystal Cities, and then we'll be talking about Section 4 of the book, which is actually the process that gets us to the fifth dimension, the techniques, the methodologies we can apply on a daily basis to bring balance to our world. And more important, to bring balance into our individual being, to create a higher awareness so that the new consciousness, new world is manifested, so that we create heaven on earth. And we'll be going through more of the manifestation process. After we go through that, we'll be touching on different topics like quantum consciousness, and fifth dimensional awareness, as well as we'll be talking about extraterrestrials, and we'll be talking about the future cities, and so on and so on. So I'm hoping to have a brand new group of incredible guests and people that can really provide you with a beautiful view into our world. While we were there, aside from my talking about the crystal cities, which we will discuss in the next radio show, we had the opportunity to meet other presenters, other lecturers that shared information so impressive as energy vibration and the power of sound and the frequencies as well, which all comprehend the energy spectrum, as well as another incredible topic, which I hope to have a guest, this person who was the lecturer at the conference. I'm planning to invite them to as a guest to our radio show, which will be about sacred geometry. More specifically, it will be centered on sacred geometry based on the Mayan civilization, Mayan history and culture. And that was also a beautiful discussion that we had, and we found out so many beautiful things about the history of the Mayans, which has been so misrepresented. I mean, for example, the information that we got when we were at the pyramids, based that discussed the culture of the Mayan, was so misplaced and misunderstood by these guides and by so-called archaeologists who reach erroneous conclusions by interpreting a lot of the symbols and a lot of the artwork that the Mayans left behind in their temples. And when you look at the sacred geometry, you get a much more realistic and more clear perspective of what the culture was really about. They were definitely not intended to be violent like we believe. They did not perform sacrifices like we have been taught to believe. So there's a lot of really compelling information out there, which we do not know anything about or have not had access to. And we'll be sharing some of this with you because, again, it's relevant to going beyond 2012. And the Mayans never predicted that the end of the world was going to happen, least of all the 21st of December. What they said that at this point of transformation was going to start. And in a way, I cannot help but agree because I really feel that the transformation is already starting, or at least we're getting prepared to start it if we have not started already. We are noticing some major planetary changes. And they discussed all of that as well. So it was a wonderful experience. One other aspect that I was also thrilled with, the mantle of the Virgin of Guadalupe, which turns out not only contains constellations or stars, I would say, but contains the specific constellations or stars from the moment she actually appeared to Juan Diego. And it's incredible that something like that would be, missed in the beginning. However, who would consider to look for something like that in an apparition of such magnitude, which was already, I'm sure, very powerful and compelling to the people of the time. And then to later find out that there's so much more in her image and her representation. The constellations were engraved in the mantle that she holds exactly in the same day that she appeared, which is incredible, powerful information. On top of that, to understand that the image also contains notes, music notes, which are very powerful vibrational sound. And this was also another presentation that we had the privilege to listen to. And I'm also hoping to invite this person as a guest. His name is Alberto Hogar, which means Albert Home, and he is from Mexico. He is an astrologer as well as an archaeologist or a researcher of the two fields, and we hope to be able to have some of his information shared because this is a wonderful program. Through the internet, we can talk to anybody anywhere in the world. So with taking that into account, the goal is to be able to share and have different people from different parts of the world participate as well as nationally and provide as much information for you guys and for myself as a host of value as possible. Please keep in mind that we do want your input. We would like your feedback on the shows and topics that you would like to have covered that are in relation to New Consciousness, New World, because the program is intended for you to have you in mind and provide as much valued information as possible. The only way we can do that is basically by having you participate or emailing us with questions or topics that you would like to have us cover. And we would be more than happy to do that. Again, this is about you, not about us. Again, the wonderful experience I had the opportunity to meet, this conference was, we had people coming in from China for the conference. We had people coming in from Mexico and from the United States. So it was a wonderful experience to have such an international participation and to be able to share with different people, different cultures, what our message as spiritual beings of light, to get the message across. And not only that, but to feel so connected. For the first time in a long time, I've had the opportunity to be with people who I felt connected to, that I had something very much in common with, and that was a wonderful, thrilling experience. And not to mention all the activities that we got to participate, the wonderful, delicious meals. We got to eat cactus. We got these incredible juices served by our hosts. And to be able to experience firsthand the delicious, delicious meals that they prepared with a variety of fruits and then other national dishes that were just scrumptious, delicious. I got to eat cocoa in a completely new way that I had never experienced but loved. And that was basically with lime and spice. And it was very spicy, but it was super, super delicious. I had never eaten coconut like that before. And so it was right out of the coconut itself. And we got to drink the wonderful coconut juice. And once we were done with that, the people who had the coconuts, that from whom we bought the coconuts, opened these up. And we were able to pull out all the coconut that we could. And we ate, and I have to tell you, just my coconut was more than enough for two meals. So it was super, super delicious. It was very filling, and it was very nourishing and healthy, of course, because this is pulled out basically from the tree. That reminds me, we had a beach day. That was about the only beach day we had. And I have to say, if any of you have been to Mexico, you know what incredible, beautiful, beautiful beaches they have, powder white beaches, which recently, due to their storms, had been greatly damaged, and they had to kind of rebuild it. And I was actually explained how the process was. They had the only thing left in the beaches was the coral. But it turns out that the sand that they use in the beaches is made out of coral. So whatever the process was, they crushed the coral. I don't know if they actually collect it from the existing beaches, and then it's sent out a place where it's crushed into powder, and then it's brought back and covered the beach areas with. So it was beautiful, and the water is just, like very nice, enough to cool you off, but warm enough that you want to go in there. And it was just the color, the turquoise. You had a variety of beaches with turquoise and blue water. And we also got to visit one of the pyramids right on Tulum, actually, right on the ocean and with the pyramids. And it was beautiful observatory right there. That was, Mayan, built in the period of the Mayans. And with this incredible view of the ocean, it was just like I would have been happy to work, have days of work like that. The heat was overwhelming. The humidity was overwhelming. However, with such an incredible travel schedule, it really passed very quickly. So without realizing, the time flew, and we found ourselves back in the U.S., and here I am with you again. While we were at the beach, aside from savoring some of the local wonderful dishes, one of the coconuts, actually two of the coconuts, fell, and one missed one of my travel mates just by inches. And I was like, you know, it was really weird because I looked up at the coconuts and said, oh my God, all those coconuts right above our chairs, our lounge chairs. And I was like, oh, I hope they don't fall because that would really basically take you out, literally take you out. And within about 10, 15 minutes, that's exactly what happened. One of the coconuts just fell right on the beach and right next to one of the lounge chairs. And a friend of ours, one of our travel partners, one of the other speakers, as a matter of fact, was missed by just a few inches. And that's one of the disadvantages. At the same time, we got to actually enjoy the coconuts because the restaurant did pick these up and use them and, you know, serve them and sold them for drinks and as well as for food. So that was an incredible experience as well. But watch out for the coconuts. They can be dangerous, especially if you sit under them. So stay away from that. The shade is great, but the coconuts are not so great when they fall on your head. And so basically, that was what our trip was about. We had a couple of days of lectures where we had incredible presentations ranging from energy vibration to healing energy to working on the energy centers of the planet, doing healing work on people, teaching people how to do energy work on the different locations, having the cenotes participate in the ceremony with water, fire, wind, and earth was also, I would say, a complete process of energy healing on the planet. It made it, it came back in full cycle. And then the personal transformation through this breath was also incredible because, like I said, I was able to overcome some major phobias as a result of that. Several things happened before I left. I was actually initiated into what is a new aspect of my spiritual life, my spiritual quest, and that is to share the message more publicly with people. I was given, actually, when I was coming on my way home, the day before the trip, I saw this incredible cloud. It was kind of cloudy and rainy, but there was some sun as well. And when I was driving on my way home, I saw this powerful, powerful, powerful image in a cloud form right in front of me in the sky. You saw like the tip of a mountain, and behind the tip of a mountain stood an angel with wings. You could only see one of the wings because it was sideways. And in its hand, it had like a lance. But the way the clouds were formed was so beautiful that the sun behind the clouds created a halo around the angel's head, and it was just extremely powerful. Well, to continue the story about the incredible, powerful angels, when I was down in Valladolid in Mexico, and we were entering a church there which has incredible energy as well, we noticed another angel in the sky, and this time it was like the angel was flying, and you could see both of the wings slightly tilted sideways. You could see the angel just flying out and the wings just flowing, and it was like glying, and you could just see this beautiful image right before we went into the small cathedral that they have there. So that was another powerful experience. We were just getting validation of the presence of spirit there. Over and over again, just incredible things happening and incredible personal growth where we were basically addressing our limitations, our fears, and new energy was being incorporated into our DNA. The DNA was being reactivated, remodified, and we were basically recovering more and more of the memories of who we are, and not only who we are, what our purpose is, and what our goal as a spiritual being of light is. So this information just kept coming and coming, and I had the opportunity to make some really, really powerful friendships with some of the people there, people I had heard about but had never met. And on this occasion, I got the opportunity to do that, to actually relate to a more personal level with people, because it was a large enough group. At the same time, it was small enough that we could actually interact with each other. And because of the energy work, we did. One of the wonderful things about our presentation, specifically referring to my presentation, was that I did not just want to give a talk. I wanted to really transport the people present into the time and space where I had my vision of the future. In other words, 1,400 years into the future of humanity. So what we did a meditation, and I used the very same technique described in the book where you go into a tunnel, and the tunnel is made out of clouds, and the clouds just swirl in both directions. So towards the right of it, if you go into the tunnel, towards the right is the past, and towards the left is the future. So the further in you go, the further into different times and spaces you go into. The tunnel itself does not hold space-time. It transcends space-time. And because it transcends space-time, it is able to go beyond any space or time that we need to. When you put people at meditative level, you're basically putting them in an alpha state most of the time. At least that's what I'd like to do. And at this state, everything is in perfect balance with the universe. It's in perfect vibration. So when you go into the state of alpha, you can basically heal your body, rejuvenate. And a lot of the people who use meditation as a way, an everyday exercise, they find greater balance. However, most important, they are able to really transcend their own space-time. So these people look younger, they feel healthier, they are more in balance with everything around them, and they're able better to deal with their problems and manifest more easily. So the tunnel has a guardian, and as you travel in, the guardian travels with you, and you basically set the intent. We did a relaxation as well, and we set the intent to go 1,400 years into the future, the time that I had been given the vision of this incredible, or I should say I was transported into the space-time of 1,400 years into the future. So if you take away from that 10 years, then you basically, because that's when I first experienced this traveling, this time travel, then you would have a more exact time of the day. But with the intent, that's all you really need to get to where you want. And so then you go into the tunnel, and you move in through the tunnel of clouds as they move and rotate in a spiral, and you set the intent, and you will be stopped at the place where you set the intent for, the time frame, space frame that you set the intent for. So the people were transported as they listened to my image, or the explanation of what the world was like in 1400. They were actually able to experience what that felt like, what it looked like, how people communicated, and we discussed absolute communication versus our regular three-dimensional communication, which gives way to a lot of misinterpretation, misconception, misleading, and oftentimes major arguments and disconcerting beliefs, you know, from people to people. With the absolute communication, you're basically not only getting a message, you're experiencing the person's intent and thoughts in this. More importantly, you're actually experiencing everything that the person is experiencing with what they're trying to say in their message. You are connected to a group of people at all levels, from your individual self to all the people on the planet, or all the people in the city, in the planet, in the universe, and so on and so on. The limit, there is no real limit, because at this level, time and space do not exist. So everything coexists in oneness. And when you're able, you know, we have an expression that says, being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes. Well, the term absolute knowledge or absolute communication is exactly doing that. You're actually able to put yourself in the other person's shoes, experiencing everything that they experience. So it gives way to such a comprehensive, a compassionate, and loving communication that it's very hard to put into words when we have a three-dimensional limited vocabulary. I mean, think just the letters alone are limited to 26, and then the numbers are limited to 10. So you're basically, you know, your communication is very limited and can lead to a lot of misconceptions and misunderstandings. With absolute communication, it's just the opposite. There is a oneness, there's a connectedness, there is a total comprehension and love connection when you communicate at that level. And there's no need to actually express words. Absolute communication is absolute, and there's no need for anything else. So this is what, you know, we did in our presentation. We discussed also what type of cities existed. The construction was very similar to what you see in nature. Like I said, in the Luray Caverns, you have clusters of crystals growing together. Well, this is pretty much the way these future cities, at least the one that I had the opportunity of visiting, was. And even though they had the ability to mentally change the structure of the buildings, you know, by the pure thought of manifesting, they did so, but every manifestation I saw were different types of colors or types of crystals. They were still using crystals because crystals amplifies the energy vibration, and it's a very beautiful symbiotic relationship that people have with the crystals and their habitats. So it's very natural. And the people levitated. They could walk on water. They, if they chose to, they walked in the gardens. The flowers just were, you know, words cannot really express the vibrantness of the colors, the spectacular design that they created surrounding the surrounding the crystals that were in small clusters. You had clusters of 3-4 structures, and you have clusters of 5-6 clusters, and they do pretty much look the way they are in nature. They're humongous. They're huge. And then the people just basically went right through the crystal and entered their own habitat. I did not see doors. I did not see, you know, any specific, I definitely did not see mechanical cars or any kind of necessary technology that we have today, like computers. There is no need for that because everything is mentally manifested, and through absolute communication and connectedness with everyone else on the planet. And everything is taken into account, the local as well as the national, as well as the universal. As so the macro versus the micro was all integrated into the design, and the individual needs were also considered, so that it's a very fulfilling, very nurturing, very healing environment where everybody is equally represented and equally treated. So needless to say, the city of the future, what awaits us, what awaits humanity, is incredibly beautiful, incredibly powerful, incredibly healing, and it's the magical, a magical place. The reason I call it magical is because things that we consider miracles today are natural in that type of existence. They're everyday happenings. It's just the way things are. So when we talk about manifesting heaven on earth, this is what I understand 1,400,000 in the future to be. Exactly, heaven on earth, a reflection of the perfect state of all things in heaven being reflected and reproduced on earth. There is no extinct species. People are treated equally. There are no illnesses. Everybody is around the same age. Around the age of 25 is the structural process of our bodies. We're adults, but we are at the same time completely healthy. There is no aging. We have transcended time space. There is no separation between us and the people who have transitioned into what we consider heaven or to the other side. There is no veil any longer. That has also been eliminated. There is complete oneness with God, with all things. So there is a total, complete fulfillment of our, you know, our patterns, our beliefs, our who we really are, and everything is in perfect balance, in perfect harmony, in perfect state. Nothing is disturbed there. Everything and everyone is treated with the utmost respect. All life is in harmony with all life. There is no pollution in the air. There's no pollution in the water. They have beautiful lakes, beautiful waterfalls. They have incredible oceans with all kinds of species of animal, plant, life that exists. And it's just magnificent, and all is in perfect balance. Man and animals coexist in a compassionate, loving, interactive relationship where they are all at peace and at balance with each other. And if we had to think of what perfection, what heaven is, I believe this would be pretty close, if not exactly identical, to what heaven on earth is. So sharing those things with you, this was part of my presentation to these incredible, wonderful people. And like I said, this is part of the book. We're getting close to this end of it. Hope Reigns Beyond 2012. And I hope that those of you who may be following or reading along as we share the, you know, have this show, New Consciousness in the World, will appreciate some of the things that you're able to, you know, take from the book, because the book was intended as a message of hope. And I wrote basically the book in the order that it was given to me, which is in reverse chronological order. For the purpose of this show, that was changed because I wanted to create a momentum, and most important, because I wanted people to understand the trials, the tests that we need to overcome in order to reach the fulfillment in the ultimate outcome of a perfect heaven on earth. It's important that we understand that there will be turmoil, that there will be chaos, that there will be a lot of environmental changes, that the continents will shift, that the poles will shift. However, taking all these things into consideration through a deep connection to spirit, through a consistent and continuous practice of meditation, we can find the balance we need to overcome this. Most important, we can develop our awareness so that heaven on earth is a reality, so that heaven on earth is a place that we know and understand. And most importantly, because of the energies currently manifesting on our planet, manifesting in the universe, it is critical that we understand how we affect everything around us, how what we say is a verb. It really literally sends out an energy vibration, energy signature, which is unique to every individual, and that has a specific impact. We are constantly, continuously bombarded by different types of sounds, and we are very lucky if we're able to determine what sounds can impact us or what sounds will not impact us. And my experience has shown me that it is through meditation which I can change that. And it is through meditation that I can constantly and continuously bring myself back into that balance, back into that harmony, back into the flow with all that is around me. We're getting close to the end of the show, so I'd love to leave you with a couple of thoughts. Again, please feel free to share your input or feedback regarding the show on our website, researchcia.com. Our blog has the ability to do that. Also, on BBS Radio, there's a blog as well for you to provide your feedback. On BBS Radio, New Consciousness, New World, you have an email link to research for the email, as well as for Research Center, Research CIA, which is Research Center for Inner Awareness, where you can provide feedback on any type of topic that you would like us to cover or any feedback that you would like to share with us. Our goal is to provide value-added information so that your needs are met and so that we can make this radio show more more beneficial for everybody, and also to be able to share our experiences as a community of New Consciousness, New World. Love you all. I hope to see you next week, again on New Consciousness, New World, 3:00 Tuesday. We are going to be changing our time frame for the show. We have at this time not determined the time or date that we will be doing that. So this is just a heads up, but we will be providing additional information once we have determined the best time for our change. Again, have a blessed, wonderful week. May God bless you and watch over you and keep you safe every day. And may you flow with the universe so that all your dreams may become a reality. This is Esperanza Ray, New Consciousness, New World.